December 8, 1947. This is George A. Palmer interviewing Mr. Alfred Martin, who was employed by Mr. Vanderbilt from 1909 until his death in 1938. Mr. Martin, we're now sitting in the dining room at Vanderbilt Mansion. Would you note any changes that have been made in the room since you were here in 1938?
No, Mr. Palmer, I do not notice very many changes. I noticed that the two planetariums that used to stand, one on each side of the French windows, the north side of the room, have been changed over to the one on each side of the entrance from the main hall. And I assume that is to give the visitors who come here a better chance to see them, as many other visitors are very interested in those two planetariums. I also notice that the red silk curtains that used to be drawn across the white blinds have been removed. Of course, the room looks rather plain now to what it did in the time when the family lived here, because the table in the center of the room used to have silver cups, one on each corner, and the two sideboards on the south side of the room was decorated with cups and bottles with chains and yacht cups and a large silver tray. And outside of that, Mr. Palmer, I don't see much change in this room.
Mr. Martin, would you describe the dining room as it might appear for breakfast with just the family coming down in the morning?
Well, of course, the dining room was only used for guests for breakfast. And on the little family table on the east side of the room was laid up for breakfast. And we used to have a large tray, what you'd call a swivel tray. And all the coffee and the food was put on this tray. And the family, as they came down, could swing this tray around to what they wanted to take from the tray. It was very plain. Red china was used to match the room. And all the food was put on the table. It was not served. And they'd just come in, and when they wanted to start the meal and go out, and if there were anyone was late, why, then fresh food would be brought up to them.
The guests would come over to the small table, take their plate of breakfast food, and then sit down at the large table?
Oh, no. No, this swivel tray was set in the center of the small table, giving them plenty of room for the plate, and they'd take hold of this swivel tray and just swing it round and bring their coffee or their food to them just as what they wanted.
That's very interesting. I'd never heard that account of how the dining room was operated before. You mentioned that the family did not come down except when there were guests in the house. Where did Mr. and Mrs. Vanderbilt have their breakfast when they were here alone?
Oh, they always had their breakfast up in their rooms.
All right, let's assume that it's luncheon time with just Mr. and Mrs. Vanderbilt here. Would you describe how luncheon was served in the dining room?
The small family table would be used, and it would be used as a bare table with doilies and a centerpiece. And those doilies would be usually engraved with some kind of flower colors, which of course would be chosen to match the flowers. Silver would not be used for lunch. It was always china or glass. White china, bowl, and white bum-bum dishes to match. And silver, of course, silver was never used, as I said a moment ago, but glass was very often used.
Were there always flowers on the table when the family was here alone?
Oh, yes, always flowers, and changed for luncheon and for dinner.
All right. Would you describe the dining room as it was set up for dinner when Mr. and Mrs. Vanderbilt were here alone?
There'd be a white plain tablecloth. And on the center of the table would be a silver bowl with flowers in and four candlesticks. and bum-bum dishes. And four places would be set just the same as if there's four people, two vacant places.
On fall days, Mr. Martin, would the fireplaces be used at dinner time?
No, the two fireplaces was never lighted.
Thinking back over this recording, I believe we failed to mention the kind of linen that was used on the table at breakfast time.
Oh, just a plain white cloth and napkins to match.
Mr. Martin, let's now assume that Mrs. Van Allen and her family, or Mrs. Howard and her family, are guests in the house. Would you describe luncheon as it might be served and differ from the time when Mr. and Mrs. Vanderbilt were here alone?
Well, of course, the small table would be extended. The large table in the middle of the room, of course, seats 10 or 12 people, so that if there should be anywhere between 2 and 9, the small table would be used. Possibly a lace cloth would be placed on the table, but underneath the cloth, this is for luncheon, a silk or satin would be placed on the table first, which would be to harmonize with the flowers. And when the lace cloth was put on the table, the color of the satin would show through the lace cloth, which would harmonize with the flowers in the center of the table. Otherwise, service of the luncheon would be just the same as when the family was there alone. Probably the best china would be used, but otherwise it would be about the same.
How many courses were usually served at luncheon?
Well, generally 3 or 4, just for a small party. Of course, for a large party, it would probably be 7 or 8.
What were the usual family courses?
Well, eggs would be the first course, and probably an entree, and then main course, which would be chicken or turkey or some kind of game, and then dessert, and then fruit and candies.
Would you describe the dining room as it was set up for dinner when Mrs. Howard or Mrs. Van Allen and their families would be here?
The flowers would be changed, and there'd be white cloth on the table with napkins to match. If red flowers would be used, red china would be used. And if the pink flowers was used, white and gold. Otherwise, the service for dinner was about the same as when the family was alone.
How many courses were usually served at dinner time?
Well, I think when I spoke a minute ago about the course, I meant dinner. For luncheon, it's generally 3 courses, which would be probably fish for first course, and then the main course, lamb or whatever they may prefer, and dessert, and fruit and candies.
December 8, 1947. This is George A. Palmer interviewing Mr. Alfred Martin, who is with the Vanderbilt family from 1909 to 1938, when Mr. Vanderbilt died. Mr. Martin, let's assume that this is Friday, that Mrs. Vanderbilt is making plans for a large banquet that includes at least 15 people, guests of honor from New York City, and one or two of the neighboring Hudson River families that have estates here along the in the valley.
The table would be extended, of course, to the length that was needed to seat the amount of persons that was going to be at dinner. Or I'd like to describe luncheon first. On the table would be laid satin, and a lace cloth would be used. And the gilt service is going to be used, which would be yellow satin and yellow flowers. On the center of the table would be placed a mirror, or rather a tray with a mirror in, with a gilt edge around. And in the center of this tray would be placed a gilt bowl filled with yellow roses. The reflection of the flower, of course, could be seen in the mirror. At each end would be a large vase of yellow roses, four or perhaps six small vases scattered in different parts of the table. The gilt bonbon dishes and fruit dishes, gilt salt cellars, pepper shakers. The knives and forks would be gilt. The china would be white with the gold bands, or rather very heavily chased gold around the edge of the plate, with the monogram or the family in the center.
How would arrangements be made for choosing the flowers and the color arrangement on the table for an occasion such as this?
Well, Mrs. Mantle would attend to that with her gardener, go into details. Of course, that would be all arranged days ahead. You see, when there's four or five meals over a weekend, all those details have to be arranged so that there's no confusion, because the flowers that are used for luncheon are taken away and fresh flowers are brought in for the dinner at night.
What might you serve for a luncheon to a group of guests such as we were talking about?
Well, hors d'oeuvres first, and then some very fancy eggs, an entree with the main dish, of course, would be chicken or turkey, and then very fancy ice cream, very fancy cakes, and of course the fruit and candies.
After the luncheon was over, you and the other men would, of course, remove the service from the table and the cloth. How might you then prepare it for dinner at night?
A plain cloth would be used for dinner, monogram cloth with napkins to match. On the center of the table would be a very large round silver tray. And placed on the top of the tray would be a very large yacht bowl filled with pink roses. With two very heavily chased candelabras, one at each end of the table, and two at each in between the candelabra and the bowl on the table, in the center of the table. There'd be various other ornaments on the table, fruit dishes and bonbon dishes. The china probably would be red.
While we're talking about the setting of the table, you mentioned a yacht bowl. Tell us what a yacht bowl is, Mr. Martin.
Well, a yacht bowl is probably a present given to a gentleman that's interested in yachting by one of his friends. It's just simply an ordinary silver bowl, but on one side would be probably the New York Yacht Club flags, and on the other side would be the owner's private flag.
All right, that's good. Let's go back now to the china. You're going to use the red china set for this dinner.
I think I made a mistake on that china because I said pink flowers. And I think the Italian china would be used for that because red wouldn't go with pink. And there was some very fine Italian china that was bought specially to use for pink flowers.
What kind of a design did it have on it?
Well, it had a kind of a the center of the plates was white, and then around the sides was all in gray with different kind of flowers, principally pinkish flower.
What kind of flatware would you use at night?
Oh, we just used same silver as we use regularly.
What would probably be the courses for a dinner such as this one we're talking about?
Soup and fish, and then a entree course, and the main course, which might be anything that turkey or anything that they may prefer. And then the ice cream or dessert.
Would coffee or demitasse be served?
Well, of course, after the dinner was served, the ladies would leave the dining room and go into the drawing room where coffee, a demitasse, and liqueurs would be served. And the gentlemen, of course, would stay in the dining room where they would have coffee, liqueurs, and cigars served. And in about half an hour, they would join the ladies in the drawing room for cards or other amusements.
At which end of the table did Mr. Vanderbilt sit?
On the east side of the end of the table. That is, on the east side of the room, rather.
And Mrs. Vanderbilt, of course, at the other end.
Yes.
I believe in another recording I neglected to ask you where Mr. Vanderbilt sat when meals were being served at the small table.
Well, on the south side of the room.
And if he and Mrs. Vanderbilt were eating alone, she would sit directly opposite him.
That's right.